At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
A warmer from the low. Welcome to Lovey Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Jaiyeet Spears, and now a part of Decent Family Podcast. And we've got a great podcast for you. In the second segment, we're going to be joined by Connor Hope. He does nice work with HXCBB, and legitimately all the gentlemen over there at HXCBB do a great work. And Connor, he is the co-host of his own podcast, the Hope and Rauf podcast, last name spelled R-A-U-F. On Rauf, they do a terrific job, and that would be with Brian Rauf, who also joins this podcast. But we're going to get a little bit more of a West Coast perspective today. We're going to be looking at a gentleman that went from the Pac-12 and went down a level after averaging nearly 13.5 points and 8 rebounds per game, and the impact he's going to be able to make there. San Diego, they've picked up a pair of guys that were big contributors in the Pac-12 last season. How Steve Lavin is doing that, the outlook of the WCC in general. We love what Todd Golden is doing at Florida, but how about his former stomping ground, San Francisco, the way that they've been able to piece things together ever since he wound up leaving for Florida, and the impressive job that they've done, not just in the transfer portal, but actually retaining one of their stars from last season as well. So we're going to have a nice wide-ranging chat with Connor about just a little bit about what we've seen on the West Coast in general. Also take a look at a few guys from the Pac-12 that have big NBA draft decisions. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Friday. And if you do ever have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM. Naming does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Hopefully, as the transfer portal mania winds up slowing down a little bit, because we're at 1,689 transfers, we're going to be able to pump out some of these conference previews, because typically I start them in late May, early June. So if we can wind up getting a lot of guys deciding where they're going to go, I'm thinking early June is probably when I'm going to be starting these up, but a little bit of a moving target here with just all that we've seen in the transfer portal, all that we've been seeing this college basketball offseason. And a man that has his finger on the pulse of all of it and so much more is Connor Hope, along with just all the gentlemen over there at HXCBB. So we're going to be chatting with him next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Jaiyeet Spears, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a Papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a Papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Kisses with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And it is great to be joined by our guest, as this gentleman is doing great work over there at HeatCheck CBB, and really all the gentlemen at HeatCheck CBB. They do absolutely amazing work. And with Connor Hope, he also does some podcasting as well. He does the Hope and Roff podcast. That last name spelled R-A-U-F, because that is for our good friend Brian Roff, who has joined this podcast quite a bit as well. They do that together. That is a terrific listen. You're able to find that wherever you get your podcast. And for Connor, he is doing a lot of written work right now, getting set for the upcoming season, because we are in sort of that holding period right now where a lot of guys have NBA draft decisions. Hard to really do previews until we wind up having that figured out. And Connor doing a great job of covering all this and so much more. And he's got a little bit of a new Twitter handle at HoopsHopeCBB. All together is the new handle. And Connor, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
It is always a pleasure to be joining you, Greg.
It's always a pleasure to have you aboard. And Connor, I mentioned it just a second ago. We do have a lot of NBA draft decisions that are going to be impactful for what these guys wind up getting for this upcoming season. I mean, we wound up seeing a lot of guys with them testing the NBA draft waters and coming back. No bigger than like in Armando Bacot last season. Those guys coming back wound up making a huge impact during the season. And are there a few guys that you take a look at and they have the potential to get drafted, but at the same time, if they come back to school, they're going to wind up making a big impact that you really have your eye on right now?
I think the biggest one for me, and it might be come as a surprise to some people, is I think Peyton Watson and Dalen Terry, both out of the Pac-12, could have huge seasons next year if they return. I know Dalen Terry had a pretty good year this year with Arizona, but he's likely to be the guy in the backcourt next year with Benedict Thurin gone. And Peyton Watson, likewise, had a relatively quiet freshman season for UCLA. But with Johnny Juzang entering the draft and likely to stay in, it's just kind of one of those situations in which Peyton Watson can probably get drafted, maybe even the late first round, early second round. But he has some room to prove that he could be a lottery pick if he were to return to UCLA and UCLA were to have a big season, because with him in tow and Jaime Jaquez returning, UCLA would be poised to have one of those seasons where they'd likely get to the second weekend again.
I do think that both of those guys have a big impact on their team, and especially Terry, because he was not necessarily the master of anything, but he was sort of that Swiss Army knife guy, ideal size for someone that is able to guard multiple positions. So I am right there with you on Terry. I think that he's going to be very intriguing. And then I also take a look at a guy like a Matthew Meyer as well. I know that his name has been brought up quite a bit because he's not just in the NBA draft, but he also entered in the transfer portal. I'd be a little bit surprised if he winds up leaving Baylor, if he does wind up coming back to school. But with that said, I was expecting a little bit more from him this year after so many of those guys that were a part of that Baylor backcourt that won the title wound up departing. He didn't necessarily take that step forward, but I take a look at him. If he does wind up coming back to school, I think that he could have a tremendous impact, and this could be the year that he winds up really taking off, becoming that guy that's like 6'8", 6'9", that is able to put up double figures and really be a great three-point shooter.
Yeah, you know, I think he entered the portal partially because of the commitments of Jalen Bridges as well as Caleb Lohner. But really makes that kind of 3-4 spot pretty deep, and a lot of minutes that need, or a lot of players that need to get minutes. And Matthew Meyer didn't necessarily have the season this year that he would have liked to have. I know we came into the season and he was being hyped up as the equivalent offensively for Baylor to what Mark Vital was to them defensively the year before. And it never really turned out to be that way. I think part of that is due to just how much offensive firepower Baylor had again in their backcourt. I think he is one of those players that's testing the waters, likely comes back. Whether he stays at Baylor or leaves, you know, I think he's a starter. If he's at Baylor, it's just a matter of how many minutes he gets. But again, he might be ready to put himself into another offensive scheme that might be better equipped for his talents. So we'll see what happens with Meyer, but I definitely agree with you. I think he is a guy who, if he returns, could be poised for a pretty big year.
Very intrigued to see what winds up going down there, as we do have Connor Hope of HXCB joining me on the podcast. And Connor, when we had you last on about 4 or 5-ish weeks ago, we were talking about the fact that Steve Lavin had gone to San Diego. It's a little bit of a jury's out situation because I have no idea what he's going to run. And we still don't necessarily know what he's going to run, but I can tell you right now, I'm feeling a little bit more bullish on him with the recruits that he's brought in via the transfer portal. Nick Lynch is going to be coming in from Lehigh, 6'11", a little bit of a combo player that's able to stretch the floor. But you bring in Jaden Dallaire, someone who's able to put up double figures in the Pac-12 from Stanford. And then you wind up bringing in Eric Williams, another guy who in the past wound up putting up right around 10 points per game out there in the Pac-12. Now, I don't know if San Diego is like an NCAA tournament team or anything like that. I'm not going to get that far carried away. But I mean, you bring in Eric Williams and Jaden Dallaire, all of a sudden, San Diego looking very, very good on paper.
Oh, absolutely. I know last time I was on when we were talking about the Lavin hire, the benchmark for Lavin was just bringing eyes to the San Diego program. These, you know, high level transfer portal recruits, that's going to bring eyes, but it's always also going to bring talent, and it's going to put San Diego in the position to compete, definitely not with Gonzaga, but with the Portland's and Santa Clara's of the WCC right behind, you know, Gonzaga and potentially a St. Mary's or BYU. But behind Gonzaga next year, it looks like the WCC is going to be pretty wide open. St. Mary's loses a couple of players, especially, you know, Tommy Cousy not coming back is going to hurt St. Mary's. They're probably still poised to finish second. But that third spot, I think, is wide open because BYU seems to be looking towards their Big 12 future. So next year might be a little bit of a throwaway year. Blair, probably an automatic first team all WCC. Eric Williams has the talent to be that too. And anytime you have two all WCC talents on your roster, you're looking at a team that's likely to finish in that 3-4 spot.
And we've talked about it really the last, I'm going to call it 2 years, with the WCC just getting deeper and deeper. You mentioned Portland. Absolutely love what they wound up doing last year in the portal. They haven't hit it as hard this season. They bring in Joey St. Pierre from UW-Milwaukee, a little bit of a glue guy that's going to do something down low for this team. But a team that we wound up having high expectations for last season. They were a little bit of a bust-a-rooney, but I think that they could be able to come back a little bit this year as Loyola Marymount. I take a look at them bringing in Rick Isenza. He was someone that was very highly touted, but just didn't wind up seeing minutes at Oklahoma. Could he perhaps be that next Mateus Markison, who was also north of 7 feet tall and was very good for Loyola Marymount? That remains to be seen. Michael Graham coming in from Elon, I think, is solid. And I think that even the Mount is doing a solid job here in the transfer portal. And even though I still think that they're probably going to be a team that finishes towards the bottom half of the WCC, the fact that they're now considered one of the lesser teams in the WCC, I think really shows just how far this conference has come in the last 2 to 3 years.
Oh, absolutely. What you're going to see in the WCC this year is something more close to the 2020-2021 season rather than last year. I know last year they got three teams into the NCAA tournament pretty solidly in the NCAA tournament with San Francisco, St. Mary's, and Gonzaga. You're probably not going to see that from the WCC this year. You're looking at one, maybe two teams. But remember, in 2020-2021, they didn't have those three teams in the tournament. But top to bottom, you could argue that the WCC that year was better and deeper than the WCC this past season. And I think that's where the WCC is heading. The top might not be as deep, but like you said, Loyola Marymount has gotten a couple of really good transfers. Pacific has gotten a couple of really good transfers, especially for what the WCC is. They got Tyler Beard out of Georgetown. They had a couple of Oklahoma State commits, Keelan Boone committed. It's just going to be one of those years for the WCC where I don't think any of these teams, save Gonzaga, is going to pop out at you as an NCAA tournament team. But 2 through 10 are going to be solid teams, and we could see a season in which all 10 of them finish in the top 200, top 250, which for Power 5 conference fans, you know, that's not going to be something to brag about. But for a mid-major conference to have all of their teams riding that line of potentially being the top half team in the country, that's pretty impressive.
I do think that the WCC does have a lot of very solid teams in it, as we do have Connor Hope of HXCBB joining me on the podcast. And I take a look at that team that could potentially wind up making the tournament despite all that we wound up seeing with Todd Golden leaving. The fact that Khalil Shabazz is going to be back for San Francisco is big. And I take a look at what they've done in the transfer portal, bringing in Marcus Williams from Texas A&M, who at Texas A&M, he didn't make an impact, but we remember 2 seasons ago at Wyoming, he was legitimately one of the best mid-major freshmen in all of college basketball. I don't know what to expect out of Sabra Gilabrea. He's the 7'1" gentleman that's coming in from Georgia Tech, but certainly a guy with size. And then Tony Rokach, he was one of the best players out there in the Big West this last season. And I take a look at San Francisco, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do what Texas Tech wound up doing last year, where they wind up losing Chris Beard. They wind up placing in their Mark Adams. They get a bunch of guys in the transfer portal, and boom, they wind up being able to just not skip a beat. But I take a look at what San Francisco has done, and considering the situation of losing Todd Golden, they have done a tremendous job this offseason.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that they're going to have a very consistent, I think, culture is what helps them out. You know, they didn't go out and hire someone from outside, a la San Diego hiring Lavin or some of these other schools hiring from outside the program. They stayed inside the program for their head coach. And so you're looking at a team that, because now they have proven talent and you have Gerlofsen coming in to be the head coach, replacing his former head coach when he was the assistant for the Dons, you know, you might lose a little bit of the brilliance that Todd Golden had when it came to a lot of those analytics, but it's still going to be a team that does really well when it comes to, you know, spreading the floor, playing solid perimeter D, and having a star guard that can score on pretty much anybody in the country.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I think that they've done a very solid job this offseason. And Connor, I know that you also do quite a bit with regards to the Big West, and I think that they're going to be in for a solid year as well. We wound up seeing Cal State Fullerton make the NCAA tournament. They've been out there in the transfer portal, but I take a look at one team on what they've done here in the transfer portal. They've got one guy, but I would argue this might be one of the most under the radar and one of the most impactful transfers in all of college basketball. If healthy, Andre Kelly going to UC Santa Barbara is nothing short of massive. He was one of the best big men in the Pac-12, averaging 13 points, 8-plus rebounds per game. He now goes to a UC Santa Barbara team that they wound up having a rough start at the beginning part of the season, but you could tell that as Big West play wound up going on, they were getting better and better. I don't know what you think about this UC Santa Barbara team moving forward, but if you've got a healthy Andre Kelly out there, this is a team that is going to be a force, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I was surprised that Andre Kelly transferred down, to be honest with you. But the fact that they were able to get someone, he wasn't a star player, but he was one of the stars for a Cal team that finished at the bottom of the Pac-12. But he put up good enough numbers and looked good enough on the floor that he could have been a solid rotational piece in for pretty much any, you know, second or third tier power conference or high major conference team in the country. And the fact that he went to a UC Santa Barbara team that, look, has put players in positions over the past few years to at least get drafted or get a chance at a two-way contract in the NBA, you know, he's going to, I think, explode when it comes to the Big West. Joe Pasternak is an excellent coach. I just think that this is a match made in heaven for UC Santa Barbara and for Kelly, who is put in a position where he can be a star on a team that has the potential to make the NCAA tournament for the second time in 3 years.
Yeah, I was in disbelief myself that Andre Kelly wound up going down to UC Santa Barbara, but I mean, the Gauchos, I think that they're very thankful to have him winding up going to their program, because I think that that's going to be really big, and I think that that's one of the least talked about transfers in all of college basketball, just because, let's call it what it is, it is UC Santa Barbara. I think that that's the reason why a lot of people are sleeping on this, but I think that that's very big. And is there any other transfers, much like what I wanted just talking about with Andre Kelly going to UC Santa Barbara, that they might be flying under the radar, but you think that they're going to make a big impact for this upcoming season?
I mean, we mentioned it with Ochak going to San Francisco. I don't think that enough people watched him last year to really get a good sense of what he could bring to a top team. Look, UC San Diego is within their four-year D1 transfer, so they were not eligible for the postseason, where you get to see a lot of this play. But early on in the year last year, he was on fire. And if he can bring that kind of the ability to use his eyes to get those rebounds, block shots, score at a pretty high rate, he could do a lot for San Francisco, who's going to be down their top offensive weapon in Jamari Bouye, but really, you know, could use that power forward in Rochak to do some damage in the WCC. He, for me, was probably the biggest get in terms of a low major or mid-major kind of transferring up a little bit in conference tier, just because I have a lot of faith in him doing well. The other guy I'm going to name, kind of flying under the radar, you know, I don't know how well he's going to actually play this year, but James Rojas transferred from Alabama to Wichita State. You know, Wichita State was in a tough position heading into this year, you know, the past couple of years, and getting a guy like Rojas, who wasn't a star at Alabama, but if he can be healthy, you know, he could be a solid piece for an American Conference team that's looking to at least be competitive in the middle of their conference. And, you know, I haven't seen a lot said about Rojas transferring to Wichita State over the past couple of weeks.
Yep, I remember him being one of the top JUCO transfers in all of college basketball the last few years. Rojas wound up having a torn ACL and somehow came back to play the last few games of Alabama. So I pretty much consider this year to be a throwaway, because he was just trying to get himself back out there on the court. Now is when he's going to really try to come into his own. But fortunately, you're always in your own, Connor. You do a great job over there at Heat Check CBB. Like I mentioned, the Hope and Ralph podcast, you guys do a great job of being able to host that as well. And I know that you've got a lot on tap, and I know that you're going to be doing a great job all offseason long. So let the good people at home know how they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, so I'm working on a piece about how the transfer portal has evolved, or at least how coaches have used the transfer portal and the success of targeted transfer recruiting as opposed to kind of mass transfer recruiting that we're seeing now. We have podcasts coming out over the course of the offseason at regular intervals. But, you know, just paying attention to the transfer portal, looking at teams. I know we didn't mention them today, but watch out for Cal Baptist in the Western Athletic Conference. They have a pretty solid transfer class coming in with Joe Quintana, as well as Riley Batten. So, you know, look out for them, but just kind of paying attention. Like you said, it's really tough to look to next year when you don't even know what rosters are going to look like in a week and a half. So we're just kind of keeping updated on that, putting out our podcast when we need to, but you can follow me at Hoops Hopes EBB and follow my podcast on any of the major podcast networks.
So glad you brought up Cal Baptist. I think that that team is in for a very big season, and I believe their first year in which they are eligible for the postseason. Joe Quintana, who you mentioned, one of the best and most underrated sharpshooters in all of college basketball, joining them, that's big. And everything that Connor Hope does is big. He's doing an amazing job over there at Heat Check CBB, and legitimately, all the folks over there at Heat Check CBB, they always deliver the goods. I try to get them on the podcast a lot because these guys love basketball. They know basketball. They bring it every single time they're on here, and Connor did that today. So big thanks, Connor Hope, for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 24 hours.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water.
It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Ghost Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Connor Hope on. He does an absolutely amazing job with HeatCheck CBB. On top of that, he does the Hope and Rolf podcast, which you're able to find that podcast wherever you find this lovely podcast. Does a great job just taking a look at college basketball all 12 months out of the year, and he is appreciated. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 24 hours, and we were talking a little bit earlier about Loyola Marymount, and I wanted bringing them up without knowing that they were going to be able to actually land a pretty big transfer on Friday, as Justin Aarons, he decided that he is going to be heading over there, as he, the last few seasons, was over there at Ohio State. Aarons, he was able to start in, I believe it was 37 games the last two seasons, was sort of an off and on starter. This last year, only about 5 points per contest, but certainly a good sharp shooter for his career at Ohio State. For Aarons, wound up shooting about 39% from three, including 42.5% from three during the 2020-21 season. Needs to be a little bit more rounded, not a guy that's necessarily doled out the ball too much, but someone that's able to come in, he's able to fill the void that was left by Joe Quintana with regards to his three-point shooting, so I think that that is going to be absolutely massive for him. You wound up hearing a little bit earlier on the podcast this week, one of our good friends in Aaron Robinson, doing a great job with Olfax Media, he was saying that Donald Carey was likely to be heading to Maryland, and good gosh darn it, he was right. Donald Carey is another guy that winds up going from Georgetown to Maryland. We wound up seeing this with Kudus Wahab last season, and for Carey, he was able to do a solid job when he was with Georgetown this last season. 13.5 points, 4.5 boards, shot 39% from three, and actually shot 45% from three-point range during that 2020-21 season. Might have been a little bit of an outlier there, but certainly a good sharp shooter, something that I feel like Maryland needed last year. They were a little bit up and down with regards to their three-point shooting, being able to bring him in. That is going to be very solid for a Maryland team that I think is going to be able to rise up in the Big Ten. A little bit of a reason why I think that they're going to rise up in the Big Ten is because a lot of these Big Ten teams have not necessarily made tremendous moves, but I do like the direction that they're heading in, and that's a big-time get. How about this big-time get for West Virginia, a team that, under the radar, has had an absolutely terrific offseason. They're going to be picking up Trey Mitchell. Mitchell, as we know, last season, he was at Texas, and while he was out there on the floor for Texas the first couple of games of the season, was able to tear it up. You could tell that he wound up falling a little bit out of favor with his coach and Chris Beard, and as a result, the numbers wound up falling off the table. But you take a look at him, first 9 games of the season, 11.5 points, 5 rebounds, shot 39% from 3-point range as a little bit of a 6'9" combo player. He is going to be a tad bit closer to home as well, as I believe that he's a native of the great state of Pennsylvania, but you take a look at what he's going to be joining over there at West Virginia. You wind up having the return of Emmett Matthews Jr., who was able to put up some good numbers at Washington. He's also going to be joining Eric Stevenson, one of the best free throw shooters in all of college basketball, was at Wichita State a few seasons ago. Last year was at South Carolina. Joe Toussaint, not a guy that's going to score a lot, but a guy that's able to dole out the ball. They did wind up losing guys like Sean McNeil and company, but certainly I think that West Virginia has this arrow trending upward, and if Trey Mitchell is even able to come close to what he wound up doing while he was at UMass during the 2020-21 season. 18.5 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, block and a half per contest while shooting 37.5% from 3. Boy, oh boy, do they have themselves a solid one there, and I think that Florida has themselves a solid one as well. You take a look at the offseason that Florida has had prior to what I'm going to be giving you guys in a second. They pick up Will Richard from Belmont, a double-figure scorer. Alex Fudge, a former 4-star recruit. Dre Bonham, who wound up having one of the better back halves of the season in all of college basketball. basketball for VMI. Now they wind up bringing in Kyle Lofton. Lofton wound up doing a nice job of being able to dish out the ball while he was at St. Bonaventure this last season. You're not necessarily bringing him in for his three-point shooting, but he's probably going to be able to fill a role much like a lot of their guards wound up having last season. Last year, Florida was a relatively poor three-point shooting team. For Lofton, wound up shooting just about 28% from three, but 13 points, 6 assists, 2 steals per game, while turning the ball over 2.5 times per contest, played in a little bit of a slower style, so I think that he's going to be able to fit in very well. Florida probably going to need to kick up the tempo just a tad, but this is an absolutely massive gift for Todd Golden if you're looking for teams that have overhauled pretty much everything in the offseason but done so very well. Florida towards the top of the list, so this one is absolutely tremendous for them. Tommy Bruner, who's someone that has been able to put up numbers the last few seasons. Last year was playing at Jacksonville, really had his coming out party when he was at USC Upstate, and 2 years at USC Upstate, 13.8 points per contest, 3 assists, wound up shooting right around 33% from 3 this last year at Jacksonville. A little bit of a diminished role because Jacksonville was a little bit more of a defense-oriented team, wound up putting up 9 points per contest, did wind up contributing a little bit over a steal per contest, and still shot over 80% at the free throw line, but he has decided that he's going to be going to Denver, and for Denver, it has been a really, really rough go of things for them. They've been one of the worst defensive teams out there in all of college basketball. The backcourt has left a little bit of something to be desired, but he's now going to be joining a few guys in Tyree Corbett, who wound up putting up massive numbers down low over at Coppin State. Lucas Sionis, who was playing at Stanford this last season. Marco Lucic, who is a little bit of a versatile player coming in from Little Rock, and all of a sudden, Denver is building something. I'm not saying that they're going to be finishing atop of the Summit League or anything like that, but I do like the pieces that are coming to the forefront for this team, so that's another very solid gift for them. Brock Hefner, P last season, was over at Hawaii. Not going to say that he wound up playing for Hawaii because, well, he didn't wind up seeing any minutes whatsoever, but he is a native of the great state of Wisconsin, Grafton, Wisconsin, 6'7", little bit of a combo player. He decided that he's going to be going to UW-Green Bay. If you ask me, and I'm someone from the great state of Wisconsin, grew up 45 minutes away from Green Bay, another rough year coming for this team. I was not necessarily a fan of them canning Link Darner a few years ago for Will Ryan thus far. I mean, Will Ryan, I think he's going to be a good coach in college basketball in the coming years, but you can tell that he's sort of trying to figure this out on the fly. They played very slow last year. They didn't have any offense. The defense was very poor, so I don't understand what they've got going on here, so that's a little bit of an issue for them. They also wound up having another St. Bonaventure gentleman wind up transferring. We're going to get to that in a second, but first, Dexter Dennis. This is big. Texas A&M is getting a good one in Mr. Dennis the Menace. Says he was playing the last 4 seasons at Wichita State. Never really took off with his scoring. Averaged between 8.4 and 9.6 points per game in all 4 of his seasons, but I mean, he was reliable. Anywhere between 4.4 and 5.3 rebounds per game in every single game, averaging nearly a block and a steal per contest this last season. Now, he needs to try to get back to shooting a little bit better from 3-point range. As a freshman, shot 40% this last year, more like 30% from distance, but a guy that's able to be a very solid defender at 6'5", not a master of any one thing, but a guy that's able to be relatively solid in a lot of different areas. This is just a prototypical Buzz Williams pickup, so Texas A&M doing a great job there, and you take a look at what Texas A&M has been able to do this offseason as well. I mean, they wind up adding in their Dennis the Menace. They wind up losing Marcus Williams over the offseason, but K.K. Robinson, a former top 100 recruit, is coming in. Julius Marble was at Michigan State, 6'9", gentleman, is coming in. Anderson Garcia, who's got a little bit of versatility from Mississippi State, he enters into the fray, and they wind up retaining a lot of their talent from last season, so I like what Texas A&M is doing. A solid pickup there. And how about this one? Oshun Oshuni is going to be heading to Iowa State. Now, the question becomes, what are they going to be able to do at the point guard spot? Because as of right now, Tyrese Hunter, he is in the transfer portal. Does this wind up convincing him to stay? Because Iowa State, over the last, we're going to call it week or so, has been able to do a good job of being able to bring these guys in, because they also wind up bringing in another gentleman from St. Bonaventure in Jerron Holmes. They've got Trey King, who wound up pretty much just sitting out last year at Georgetown, a little bit of a versatile player. He comes in. Hassan Ward is nothing more than a designated rebounder for the team, and Oshun Oshuni is pretty much an advanced form of Mr. Hassan Ward. 6'10", right around 220-pound big man in Oshuni, who was able to put up 3 blocks per contest. He was able to give the team 11.5 points, 7.5 rebounds per game. Very good true post presence for an Iowa State team that, if they wound up having one weakness last season, it was the fact that they weren't necessarily so great on the glass. So this is absolutely tremendous for them. Like I said, if they're able to get Tyrese Hunter back, look out below, because this is absolutely big for them. And my goodness gracious, it's been a very, very strange offseason for Iowa State, but right now it looks like it is going very well for them. It is a solid offseason for Nada Aikaten. He was last season playing at Southeast Missouri State, and he's going to be heading up to Mercer. Someone who wound up actually beginning his career at Nebraska, saw a couple minutes there, and in two seasons while he was in the Ohio Valley Conference, didn't put up great numbers, but they were solid, right around 8 points, 5 rebounds per contest. Able to shoot about 34% from three-point range as a 6'6" combo player. Should be able to go into Mercer, and if he's able to pick up the defense a little bit, because Southeast Missouri State, they played at a very fast style last season, and defense was very, very much optional for them. He should be able to be a very solid pickup for them. Joe Kasprisky, he was playing this last season at Southeast Louisiana. He has decided that he is going to be going to Niagara, and for Niagara, they're going to be bringing in a guy that played at a much, much more up-tempo style. Actually began his career in the northeast part of the country at Bryant, and really saw his best numbers during the 2021-22 season with 11 points per contest. Was able to shoot about 35% from three-point range, 78% at the charity stripe, 2 assists per contest. Not really the master of anything, but 1.6 steals per game. That's solid for a Niagara team that they look to hang their hat on defense, and I do think that Niagara going to be once again a solid team out there in the Metro Atlantic. I still think that they probably need a little bit more size down low to be able to hold down the fort, but this is a very good piece for them to be able to build around, and should be able to help them out there. You did wind up seeing Calvin Solomon. He last season was playing for Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin. He's going to be staying in the state of Texas, and he is going to be going to UTEP. Gentleman last season wound up having 9.5 points, 6 rebounds per contest, was a starter for the team. Very much inconsistent with regards to some of his play, but with that said, a guy that at 6'7", towards the end of the season, he was popping a couple more threes. UTEP is a team that they're all about defense, and Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin, they're always looking to be able to draw steals. He wound up being able to register right around 1.7/1.8 per contest, and you take a look at what he was able to do towards the back half of the season. Final, we're going to call it 16 games of the season for Solomon. 10.5 points, 2 steals, 2.5 assists, 6 rebounds per game. Shot 50% for three. Now it's on like a half a three per game, but was able to give a little bit more with that regard. That was very solid for him. So I take a look at this pickup for Stone Cold Steve F. Austin, and I do like the direction that they're heading in, and I do think that he's going to be able to come in, and he's going to be able to do some good for them. Taj Thewitt, he was this last season supposed to be at Coastal Carolina, began his career at West Virginia, just did not wind up getting a lot of playing time whatsoever. He is back out there in the transfer portal. Going to be interesting to see where he winds up ending up, because, I mean, we've seen it with West Virginia. They've had a lot of turnover, and Coastal Carolina as well. So really both the schools they used to be at, he has been in situations in which they've sort of been up and down. 367th with regards to the class of 2020 recruiting rankings of 247 Sports. So going to be interesting to see what winds up happening with them. We do know what's happening with another gentleman from Wichita State. That would be Ricky Council IV. Is this perhaps a sign that they struck out on Imani Bates? He has decided that he is going to be going to Arkansas. And with Ricky Council, I like his versatility. 6'6" gentleman that is able to give you a couple threes during his freshman season, 2020-21 season, shot 44% from three. This last year, more like 30.5% from three. So it irons out to be about 34% from distance. But this last year, 12 points, 5.5 rebounds, a steal per contest, a good developmental piece. He was a little bit more of a sixth man while he was with Wichita State this last season. So I don't think that he's in there for much more than depth, but certainly when Ricky Council is one of your guys that is coming off the bench, you know that you're doing well with Arkansas. So another just piece that is added to this Razorbacks team, a team that I think when it's all said and done, they're going to be in the top three when it comes to the top 25 coming into the season. Caden Boozer, he last season was playing at UMKC. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level, and he is going to be going to Valdosta State. This is very easy for a handicap. All you need to note is that Mr. Boozer, he was at the D1 level last year. He has decided that he is going to be stepping down to the non-D1 level, and he was not a terrible player. He wound up putting up 4 points per contest during his two seasons at UMKC, shot 40% from three-point range as a 6'8 combo player. I would have thought that UMKC would have wanted him back right around 12 minutes per contest. He's probably going to be getting a mondo amount of minutes at Valdosta State, one of the better D2 schools out there in all of college basketball. You know so because Dustin Swendelson, the wonderful producer of Follow the Money at VSiN, he wanted going to that school, so you know it has to be good. But that said, a little bit surprising that he decided that he was going to be going down to the non-D1 level. We wanted seeing Roshan Black. He last season was at Radford, just did not wind up seeing the floor whatsoever. He is going to be out there in the transfer portal, and the cutoff for entering into the transfer portal? Well, it was supposed to be a little bit earlier. It was supposed to be May 1st for a lot of these guys, but we're still seeing guys enter into the transfer portal. So don't you just love that? Jonathan Kumingham, he was playing at Sacramento State this last season. He decided that he is going to be going to Southeast Louisiana. This last season was a very nice force for Sacramento State. 6'9" gentleman that didn't wind up giving the team a lot of scoring, only about 6 points per contest, but was able to give the team 7 rebounds, a block and a half per contest, and this is something that was just so badly needed over there at Southeast Louisiana. They got decimated on the glass, one of the worst teams with regards to rebound rate, especially out of conference in all of college basketball. Kumingham, with a 6'9" frame, ability to be able to block shots, that should be able to prove to be very good for them. You wind up seeing Elam Husinovic. He was this last season at Nevada and just did not wind up seeing the floor too much, wound up putting up right around 1.5 points per contest. Gentleman that at 6'4", tried to shoot a couple threes, could never really find his form with that regard, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Rice, as we do wind up giving our ode to Lane Kiffenier. Goel says, it's been a very silent offseason for Rice thus far. They haven't necessarily added too much. And you take a look at Husinovic, he wasn't necessarily a guy that was too highly touted. There weren't a lot of teams that were in on him when he was being recruited, was outside the top 500 with regards to 247 Sports. So not necessarily much there. Rice, you got to feel like, after I was very bullish on them coming into the Conference USA season during the 2021-22 campaign, that they've taken a little bit of a step down. Javon Franklin, he is going to be hoping to give this program a little bit of step up. He has decided that he is going to be going to Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech, they really needed a little bit of rebounding from last season, and Franklin wound up beginning his career at Auburn, spent 2 seasons pretty much on their bench, and last season, when he was over there for the Jaguars of South Alabama, 12 points, right around 8 rebounds, 1.3 steals, 1.4 blocks per contest. This is a prototypical guy for Josh Pastor and Georgia Tech, someone that plays lockdown defense. Offense can sometimes be a little bit of a work in progress, not a guy that's going to step out there and shoot threes, but you notice that when Georgia Tech was able to make the NCAA tournament a few seasons ago, it was because they wound up having Moses Wright down low. Is he going to be Moses Wright? Absolutely not, but should certainly be able to give this team an upgrade from what they wound up having down low last season, as they just did not wind up having any depth whatsoever, so that's big for them. Evan Gilroy, he last season was averaging right around 2 points per game at Vermont. He has decided to go to Southern New Hampshire, and I'm not even kidding when he says that, when I say that he's going to Southern New Hampshire. So I thought that that was a little bit interesting, that you cause really not a lot of mixing and jaking with regards to projecting Vermont out for the next upcoming college basketball season. But hey, it's going to Southern New Hampshire. Reggie Rayner, he was averaging right around 1 point per contest for UNC Greensboro. Not necessarily much of a depth piece whatsoever. He's decided that he's going to be going to Brunswick Community College, so we wish him well there. And this one is a little bit more surprising with regards to a guy that is going down to the non-D1 level, Thatcher Stone. He last season was playing at William and Mary, not just William, not just Mary, but both of them, and was a guy that you thought was going to be able to take off a little bit, wound up having to redshirt 2 seasons ago, wound up putting up right around 2 points per contest, so he has decided that he is going to be going down to Stonehill College. And then you wound up seeing Philip Pepple Jr. He was playing this last season over at Idaho and was a solid player for Idaho, right around 5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. He wound up having a very, very small cup of coffee at SIU Edwardsville, where he averaged 8 points and 5 rebounds per game. So at the D1 level, it's shown that he's able to be a little bit of an impact guy. This year at Idaho, right around 1.2 blocks per contest, he's decided that he's going to go down to the non-D1 university, and he is going to be going to Clayton State. So this one was a little bit of a surprise to me as well, but very easy to be able to keep up with, since now you don't need to worry about handicapping what he's going to be able to do this season. But all D1 players that are going to be out there, all these D1 teams, I'm going to be handicapping those here to begin the season, then just every single day throughout the season, once we wind up getting games back, as per usual, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. And until then, going to give you guys conference previews once we get a little bit more clarity with the transfer portal, and once we know what guys are going to be staying in the NBA draft, what guys are going to be coming back to school, and that's what right now what we're building towards. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you are able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @G_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to Connor Ope of Heat Check CBB for joining me in the second segment, coming at you guys every single day during the regular and off season, which means I'll be chatting at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.